The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
It's always terrific to come back to Rangeville. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and share a word with you. And I wanted to begin by picking up on something that we heard in the children's time about the present. Now, Graham had a present that he hadn't opened with him. And I wondered how many people over Christmas received presents and didn't open them. I mean, imagine you get a gift and you think, wonderful, look at this wonderful gift. The box looks amazing. The wrapping looks extravagant and the ribbon has been beautifully tied. So I'll just put that on the shelf and every day I'll be able to go, isn't that an amazing present? Well, if that's you, I would say, Houston, we have a problem, you know. Because presents are supposed to be opened and you're supposed to enjoy the content of the present, not the box that it comes in. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. So one of the gifts that Graham spoke about was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God, remember, God gave us his Son on Christmas time. He gave us the Bible, his word, and he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us along our way. Now, the Holy Spirit was already around and given out in the Old Testament, but they were given to individual people for individual circumstances. So it might be a prophet or a king or a tradesman who had to do amazing work in building the temple. They received an anointing from God, the special gift of the Holy Spirit to do that. But usually when the job was done, the gift was taken away. That was how life worked. And throughout the Old Testament, you find time and time again where people were filled with the Spirit for a purpose. They did their job and then they moved on. Well, today is the second Sunday after Christmas. In the liturgical year, it's the second Sunday of Epiphany, and the church remembers that Jesus was baptized at that time. And you read about it in Luke chapter 3. I'll just read you the passage. Luke 3, 21-22. Now when all the people were baptized, remember this is John in the River Jordan baptizing people, when all the people were baptized and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." We're familiar with the story and how Jesus received the Holy Spirit in a very special way. We know that he went on to be tempted in the wilderness, because the Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness where he had to deal with temptations that Satan put on him. And after he came through that, he started his public ministry. Luke 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, to Galilee. And the report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country. So Jesus didn't only receive the Spirit, but he was full of and empowered. He was actually sloshing with the Spirit to overflowing. And that's when he started his ministry, and we read in chapter 4 how he started his ministry in his home synagogue in Nazareth, where he gave this amazing sermon and made the claim that he was the Messiah. So there's the first glimpse of the gift of the Holy Spirit and how it worked out. Now, when Jesus went on to minister and talk to his disciples, he told them that the time would come when he had to leave them and to go back to the Father, but that he wouldn't leave them alone. He would actually send someone else, another helper. The Greek word for helper is parakletos, or paraclete, as it says in some translation. And the word other in Greek is significant because there are two words for other in Greek. One is other but the same, and the other is other but different. So I have a book, you have a book, you have another book, but it's different from my book. And if we have the same copy of the same Bible, it's another Bible, but it's the same, you see. And the word that is used here is other but the same. In other words, the helper that's coming is the same God as Jesus is, as the Father is. That word parakletos is translated in a number of different ways in different scriptures. In the King James, they translate it with comforter. And a comforter is one of those nice words that give you a warm, cozy feeling. But unfortunately, when you learn ancient English, comforter didn't mean there, come and I'll tuck you under my wing and make sure you feel comfortable. Comforter had the actual opposite meaning. I don't know if you're familiar with the amazing tapestry of in Bayeux in France, where they describe the conquest of England. And one of the panels in this tableau is a panel of the king comforting his people. That's what it says in the subtitle. And what's the king doing? He's got a big pike and he's stabbing his troops in the derriere to make sure that they move forward when he tells them. And that was comfort in King James English. Didn't think much of that with someone whose English is second language. So when you look at the word paraclete, it comes from the Greek parakaleo, which means call alongside. Someone who is called alongside. That's why other translations use the word helper. Someone who's called alongside to help. Let's assume that I'm trying to drive my car and I turn on the ignition key and nothing happens. Has that happened to you? Well, I've since looked up in the manual how you actually open the bonnet to see under the bonnet. But when I do that, means nothing to me because I don't know anything about cars. So what do? I call someone alongside. I ring the RSEQ. Been a member for 40-odd years, so I'm entitled to ring them. And someone from the RSEQ drives up, comes alongside, looks at the car, fixes it, and I can get going. He was my helper. He came alongside. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says that he has to go back to heaven and send another helper, someone who will be alongside us, that we can rely on and trust, and who will make sure that we end up going in the right direction, doing the right thing. Interesting picture. So how did the disciples find out about the gift of the Spirit? Well, after Jesus had died and was raised to life, he met with his disciples, turned up unexpected, walking through walls, showed them his hands and his wound in his side, and prayed blessing over them. And after he finished talking with them, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that's exactly what happened. They received the Holy Spirit. But there's a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled and operating out of fullness with the Holy Spirit. That's not the same thing. Every one of us, when we become a follower of Jesus, make him Savior and Lord, have a guarantee in here that we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is resident in us. But that doesn't mean that we're fully released to the Holy Spirit, that we're filled with Him. In the book of Acts, we read what happened. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember, if you read Acts 2, that's the story of Pentecost, when they'd been praying in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came, and everybody was filled with the Spirit, and the people in the neighborhood came running saying, "What on earth is going on here? This is weird stuff." Because they heard them speaking in languages that they didn't really know. So Peter has to give an account, and he has to say what happened. And he does it by referring to the prophet Joel in Acts 2:17-18. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares," this is the prophet Joel speaking, "that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So that passage begins with "in the last days." Now, many people think that "in the last days" means the last days when Jesus comes back the second time. And then it depends on your theology, whether you're premillennial, postmillennial, midmillennial, or panmillennial, as to what happens to you. But the way Peter is explaining it here is that the last days started when Jesus died and was raised to new life. It's not something that's still in the future. The last days have already begun. It's just that they've already been going on for 2,000 something years, and we're still waiting for the last days to be finished. And every time you read in the scriptures reference to the last days, that doesn't actually mean tomorrow or the day after. It can mean a long time yet. As long as we are aware that we have to live as if the very last days have around the corner. So the Joel said that God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh, and at Pentecost, that's exactly what happened to all the disciples, all the followers of Jesus who were in the upper room. They actually received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And what they did with that was absolutely amazing. Because instead of sitting quiet and keeping stumm and saying, "Well, I've got the Holy Spirit, thank you very much, so I'm good, I've got my relationship with God sorted out," the purpose of receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit was to actually use it and make a difference in the lives of people. Let me continue on and give you the example that I learned about the difference between receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. The illustration is the illustration of a sponge. If you take a sponge and you squeeze it and you hold it in water, the sponge is in water, but it's not filled with water. It isn't until you let go that the whole sponge actually fills with water. That's when it's filled with water. Well, that's an analogy of what happens to us. We receive the Holy Spirit at the time we become a Christian and a member of His family. But then there's a subsequent step where we get filled with the Holy Spirit, where we invite more and more of Him in our lives so that He can have more and more influence in us. And that's a gift for everybody. So, not just for the chosen frozen, but for everybody, the gift of the Holy Spirit is there to be had in its fullness. But what did He do that for? Why did He give us the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11-12, Paul describes that he gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. The fullness of the Spirit is provided so that we can better fulfill the ministry that God has chosen for us. And not necessarily what goes on within the four walls of the church, of a building, but what goes on in the community. You see, all of us are part of an army that's charged with transforming the Toowoomba region so that it becomes more and more like the place that God intends it to be. Now, we don't have to do that on our own, because at the latest count there are 99 churches in Toowoomba, of which this is only one. And that means that you've got thousands of brothers and sisters in the faith, because everyone who is born again is a child of God, and they're all our brothers and sisters. So they do worship differently from us sometimes. Some of them are into ecclesiastical haberdashery and candles and all kinds of stuff, and others don't do any of that stuff. But they're all our brothers and sisters, and we all have the same responsibility to make a difference in the community in which we're placed. And that doesn't include the largest group of Christians, which are those who are not going to church anymore for whatever reason. And there are thousands of those in Toowoomba. So we've received the Holy Spirit. We've got the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to make us more effective in exercising the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is what the saints are equipped for when they are ministered to. That's all part and parcel of God's plan. And that's amazing. So what does that mean for us individually? Well, some people treat the gift of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit like the example of the person who received the gift and didn't bother opening it, you know, left it on the shelf and said, doesn't the parcel look amazing? Because that doesn't really make sense, because the purpose of the gift is that we use what God has given us to use. And instead of wrapping it up and saying, well, I've got it, but I'm not going to use it, it makes much more sense to say, Holy Spirit, show me how to use the gifts that you've given me by exercising the fullness of the gifts that you've given me. And when that happens, amazing things can take place. Because God is able to use our words that he gives us to make a difference in the lives of people. So in another church where I visit, they have the habit of praying for people in their neighborhood and asking for words of knowledge for the people that they meet. And a word of knowledge is where you know something about someone that you don't know. You can't know except that the Holy Spirit gives you an insight. It might be a picture, it might be a word. And when you share that with them, that really gets their attention, because how do you know? Well, God showed me. Okay. That is an amazing way in which God ministers to people. And it's a privilege to be able to have your spiritual ears open and listen to what God is saying and doing, so that you can participate in helping bring about his kingdom in the world. So today, don't just say, well, I've got the Holy Spirit, thank you, I've got the package, and I'm going to leave it there. Step into it and make sure that you use what you have, and ask God to fill you again and again and again. When you read the book of Acts, you find over and over again that the apostles and the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit again. You see, it wasn't a one-off event on Pentecost where they were filled with the Spirit and that'll do them for life. The difficulty with us as Christians is that we leak. So we may be filled with the Spirit at one stage, But because we leak, we need to be topped up and filled up with the Spirit again. And that's the value of asking God for help, to keep filling you up with His Holy Spirit so that you can do the work of ministry. So, is the Holy Spirit's gift an optional extra? Billy Graham, if you remember Billy Graham, an amazing evangelist, came to Australia in the 60s and had an amazing ministry. He was visiting a large church in the United States, and he was being shown through the complex, which looked amazing, a large congregation. And the pastor who was leading him around said, we've had an unfortunate experience because one of our leaders in the church, we discovered that he's been drinking to excess on a number of occasions, and he's disgraced himself. So we've had him put out for church fellowship until he realizes that he can't do that. So Billy Graham asked, so how long has it been since you put someone out of the church for not being filled with the Spirit? Interesting question, isn't it? How long since you've put someone out of the church for not being filled with the Spirit? See, Billy Graham quoted at Ephesians 5:18. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And Billy Graham said, the positive command to be filled with the Spirit is just as binding on us as the negative command not to be drunk with wine. Hello. Hello. We've got this amazing gift that God has given us, the Holy Spirit, and we better use it because that's His purpose for us as His disciples. Let us pray. Father, You give amazing gifts, and we thank You for the gift You've given us. Thank You for Jesus that we remember at the Christmas. Thank You for Your Bible, Your Word, that keeps us on the straight and narrow. And thank You for Your gift of the Holy Spirit that energizes and enables us to be more effective as Your disciples. Father, I pray that everyone here will use the opportunities that God gives them to step into more of what the Spirit has for them, so we don't get accused of not being filled with the Spirit and deserving being kicked out of the church. Father, thank You for the negative command, but also the positive command. And we want to step into what You have for us. So we thank You for Your promise in Jesus' name.
Concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.